T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Oh, here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
Three-time champion, tell some 90s Bulls stories. BJ Armstrong. All right, BJ, take us inside that card game. What games are we playing? What are the stakes?
Well, we play blackjack.
You know that blackjack is the only game where a smart player has a mathematical advantage over the house?
This should be sweet.
And the whole team would always play against Michael. He was kind of the house. I always remember everyone on the team was trying to beat him.
Whose game is it? It's Michael Jordan's game.
You know, that was one of the great things that, you know, we would play hard. We would do our thing, but the competitive spirit was always there on everywhere we went, right? So as soon as we got on the plane, you know, we were there. And it was always the team versus him.
You didn't see what was going on?
Well, there's no way to determine that,
yes,
Sam.
There is. An infallible way. They won.
Well, it's a casino. People got to win sometimes.
He was the house, and we would always make the rookies shuffle the cards, and we would just play. And we'd just play for hours. I just remember we wouldn't eat. We wouldn't do anything. We would just play, and everyone was just trying to break the house. And looking back on it, you couldn't break the house, but it was fun trying to do it.
What were the stakes?
Stakes get pretty high depending on the game, but you know, we had a lot of fun, a lot of trash talking. But most importantly, I think it was a bonding experience for all of us because everyone participated. We had a good flow, a good group of guys that all got along.
Why do this? Because the house always wins. Play long enough, you never change the stakes. The house takes you. Unless when that perfect hand comes along, you bet big and then you take the house.
Been practicing this speech.
A little bit. Did I rush it? Felt like I rushed.
No, it was good. I liked it.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkins Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
BJ Armstrong, our guest for Score Stories yesterday. Rex Hudler joined us today. We've had Steve Stone, Pat Hughes, Ron Rivera. We're booking at least one guest a day for the sole purpose of telling stories, just to make you feel a little bit better during this weird time that is the COVID-19 pandemic.
That has been the mantra of our show all week and will continue for many weeks. And thanks to everybody on the air, staff on our show and at the radio station for trying to help people get through these times as we all work from home. And I do want to correct one thing I said in our opening day segment, as it was germane to the conversation about the 89 Cubs, that National League Championship Series was not a best of five. They had already moved to the best of seven. I confused it with the 84 playoff series loss to the Padres when they won their first two here, went to San Diego, and couldn't win a game, got blitzed in three straight. So, yeah, a seven-game series in 89, and the Cubs managed only one win in that series before getting punched out.
Well, glad we corrected that.
Yes, and I feel better.
Good. I'm glad you do. We air the Governor Pritzker coronavirus updates every day. I've listened to every one since this has started, and I thought he was particularly strong today. And there was a little bit of anger coming through. We wanted to bring that clip back for you right here, just so you know. And by the way, the news is 7 deaths in Illinois added to the total, up to 26. The cases up 700. So now we're over 2,500 cases in Illinois. And they're getting a little angry that people are not heeding their words of caution.
for the sake of everyone's health. Follow the social distancing guidelines that we talk about here every single day. Stay 6 feet apart and don't gather in groups of 10 or more. Right now, hosting a party, crowding down by the lake, playing a pickup basketball game in a public park. If you're doing these things, you are spitting in the face of the doctors and nurses and first responders who are risking everything so that you can survive. We are quite literally in the middle of a battle to save your life.
I thought that was very strong, Mac, from the governor. And I want to tell a little story here. I've shared about half of it so far earlier today, so I'll retell it. But and this is not at all me preaching, because I have not been perfect through this. I've said it was a mistake for us to go to Scorehouse after the news came out. We've had, you know, it's been over 10 days now, but we had my sister and a couple of her friends over to meet Owen. We went to a dinner with another couple probably later than we should have. So I'm in no way saying that I've been perfect through all of this. I'm just trying to get better and learn about this as quickly like so many other people are. But yesterday was rough for me. I hadn't been getting a lot of sleep, had a real bad stress headache, and it was just we had the doctor on the show, and there was still feedback coming in saying that they weren't going to listen to him because he was just one medical professional, and that it was fear-mongering to put a doctor on. And I was just kind of down after the show because I was like, man, like that was medical information from an expert, and still people were denying it. Like, it's so dangerous. And I then found out that my cousin basically has coronavirus, but he can't get a test in New York because his business partner does have COVID-19 and is on a ventilator, is doing better, but is still in a hospital on a ventilator. And so I'm like, man, my cousin is quarantined with his girlfriend, and they've got the coronavirus, and they can't get a test. And we're using our platform, hopefully for good, but people are still denying it. And it was rough. And so I got a good night's sleep last night, and I woke up to this message in my inbox on Twitter. It was from someone named Rudy, and he puts it just to me, Mac. It was the week when you were out, actually, and after we got back from Scorehouse, and you might have actually had coronavirus, as you said yesterday, that your therapist has it, and that you might have given it to him, but he sent me this message. Danny, you saved my family. I remember listening to you on Wednesday, the 11th of March, and somebody was infected in your building, and you spread the info, and you were a complete pro about it. I immediately called my wife and told her to buy some supplies and groceries, and we were able to stay ahead of the virus because of it. My son has asthma, and when he gets sick, his body shuts down. I just had to thank you, millennial to millennial. And I can't tell you how good that made me feel, because it is my generation and younger that seemingly have been ignoring this. And so for all the people who think that it's ridiculous that we're talking about it, or those who are denying some of the science and the medicine behind it, that message just made me feel good that, like, listen, maybe we're like reach one, teach one. If just one extra person takes this stuff seriously because they're hearing us talk about it, hopefully in a responsible way, then maybe it'll all be worth it.
Yeah, I'm glad he reached out to you, and I'm glad you had that kind of an effect on him. That is that's something great to receive, and I hope there are a lot more stories like that that we simply haven't heard. And I wasn't aware that you were a little bit blue after the show last night. By all means, call your radio daddy if you need a shoulder. I knew you were having some headache issues yesterday and the sleeplessness. The fact that you had a dream was a good sign, even though it was a nightmarish dream. That means you got the REM stage sleep, which obviously didn't happen the night before. Look, telling the truth can be exhausting, and it's a cross to bear, but there is nothing more important, I don't think, that we've done, and maybe that I've ever done, other than to pass along these messages. And if people think it's preachy, too bad, so sad. It's the right thing for Pritzker to do today, to be on the muscle a little bit after all of the sobering news that we got on those figures in the state of Illinois. You can't be cautious enough. And we all need to stop these, and I'm telling myself that. I'm not trying to just point the finger. I'm pointing the thumb as I say it. Stop these ideas of any group activities anytime soon until you are certain that you had it and are no longer contagious. And good luck trying to find a test. It's going to be a long time. Danny mentioned that I thought I may have had it. Yeah, I think maybe I did come back from Arizona with it because it did make its entry into the United States out west. I'm on an airplane coming home. Lots of a few days with a high temperature. It's what felt like a head cold, 5 days of a temperature. So there is a real good chance I passed it along to my therapist. And if that's the case, it's moved through because I'm several weeks now past those symptoms. But I don't know. So I've got to do the right thing and keep my ass in my house.
Yeah. And so anyway, not to be a down, we try to balance here by the realness and we're living through all of this with all of you and then being a distraction and all of that. But yeah, I did have my first coronavirus dream last night that I got it and there was nowhere in my condo to be quarantined because we have two bedrooms, two bathrooms, and then one big living space. And the bedroom I share with Steph, the other bedroom is Owen's nursery, and then there's the living space. So it was just it's been a wild 24 hours, but that message really helped, and feeling much better today.
Good.
Even though there is no opening day. And before we have Spiegel on in the next segment, the commissioner of baseball joined Scott Van Pelt, and I thought that this was pretty instructive. If people want to know where baseball is, where it might be going, and what's on the table for if and when baseball comes back, he seems pretty adamant on bringing baseball back to help be a part of the recovery for this country in some form or fashion. We're going to play a chunk of the interview here. This is Rob Manfred from ESPN with Scott Van Pelt on basically what baseball's plans are as of now.
Well, I think we need to have a regular season with a credible number of games. I think we should have a postseason format that focuses on providing the most possible entertaining product to our fans at a very, very difficult time in our history. And overall, I think our goal is to play as many baseball games as we possibly can, given the limitations associated with the public health concerns.
Is there a round number for reasonable, 100? I mean, what's a reasonable number in your mind?
Look, I think that the exact number that we'll see is reasonable is going to depend on when we get the go-ahead to play.
Of course.
I don't have some absolute number in my mind that's a make or break. I think we have to evaluate the situation. I also think that we need to be creative in terms of what the schedule looks like, what the postseason format looks like. You know, obviously our fans love 162 game season and the postseason format that we have. We're probably not going to be able to do that this year. I think that's clear. And it does give us an opportunity to do some different things, to experiment, and to make sure that we provide as many games as possible and as entertaining a product as possible.
I'm interested when you start talking about being creative. I mean, are there things you're comfortable talking about? I mean, in terms of other possibilities, what might that look like?
Look, I think that nothing's off the table for us right now. I think we are open, and we've had some really positive conversations with our Players Association about relaxing some of the rules that govern our schedule. They're very focused on returning to play and playing as many games as possible. And when you have that kind of positive dialogue, it creates an opportunity to do things that are a little different. You're not committed to them over the long term because this year is a unique circumstance. But there's a lot of ideas out there, and we really are open to all of them.
Rob, you mentioned fans. Obviously, they're the lifeblood of every sport, and baseball is no different. How important is it to hopefully be able to have them in some capacity in stadiums as the games begin?
Well, you know, fans are crucial to baseball as we know it. The fan experience is very, very important. It's part of the entertainment. I think the game, you know, we've seen it once with a game in Baltimore where we played empty. It's a very different experience. Obviously, our preference would be to play with fans. There's also significant economic issues. More than, I think, any other sport, we're dependent on our gate and our gate-related revenue. So, obviously, our preference is to have fans in the ballpark as soon as the public health considerations would allow it.
Rob, I often say I'm optimistic because it costs the same. If you allow yourself to be hopeful as we talk right now and you look down the road at what what you hope can happen in terms of a schedule. What does that look like? Understand you're not putting this in pen. It's just sort of what you hope might be.
Yeah, look, my optimistic outlook is that at some point in May, we'll be gearing back up. We'll have to make a determination depending on what the precise date is as to how much of a preparation period we need, whether that preparation period is going to be done in the club's home cities or back in Florida and Arizona. And again, I think the goal would be to get to as many regular season games as possible and think creatively about how we can accomplish that goal.
Nobody wants to think about the worst side, but this is what comes across your desk. Obviously, you'd have to consider the worst-case doomsday scenario as well. And I think we've all thought about it. I mean, what if this goes on for 6 months or something? And then what happens? What does a worst case look like? Is it a season without baseball, Rob?
Well, I mean, obviously, we're not in control
sure.
of that worst-case scenario. I think that if, in fact, the situation with respect to the virus is such that it's not safe to resume play, whether it's in alternate sites, empty stadiums, whatever it is, we have to accept that as a reality. It would be a tremendous hardship. It'd be a hardship for our fans, be a hardship for our players, and you know, frankly, it'd be a huge economic hardship for our owners. It would be a real tragedy. But the one thing I know for sure is baseball will be back. Whenever it's safe to play, we'll be back. Our fans will be back. Our players will be back. And we will be part of the recovery, the healing in this country from this particular pandemic.
Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Baseball, with Scott Van Pelt on ESPN. We talked a lot yesterday about seven-inning doubleheaders, expanding the playoffs, starting with the All-Star game. How many games is too few to make the season feel like it matters? I think that it's a good opportunity to try some stuff, even if it doesn't feel like a normal season. I can't imagine us not having sports for 3-4 months and then baseball coming back and people being like, I don't want this version of baseball. So I think it's going to come back. I think it's going to be weird, but I think he's going to try to position baseball as something that can help heal the country.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I mean, anything is better than nothing. I have to tell you what stood out to me in that clip we just heard was the over-the-top optimism about getting back at it in May. And he did say, you know, the question was the optimistic side of you. So that's
yes.
That's the best scenario. I think that is pie in the sky at this point, don't you?
It certainly seems unlikely, especially if he wants to do it with fans there. He also said ramping back up in May, so maybe that is controlled spring training. Right after
right.
the guys all have access to tests and then
yeah.
you can test positive, you know,
well,
like
man, we're sitting here on the 26th of March and in New York, oh God, I don't know how that happens.
Yeah,
I hope he's right.
We've got tickets, you know, and not to the game yet, but we were planning on traveling to see the White Sox play May 8th in San Francisco. There's no way. I mean, I haven't officially canceled yet, but certainly in the process of doing so, I don't see how there's any way they're playing real games by May.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to cancel earlier than you have to.
Right, yeah.
Can't, like, I don't know how you booked it, but there's no reason to cancel earlier than you have to, but I would not plan on you guys making that trip, obviously. No one's a bigger baseball romantic than Matt Spiegel, and no one thinks about the game at our station in more different ways. So we'll ask him how he's feeling today on what should have been opening day and about some of the proposals that are being thrown around for what baseball might look like if we have a season now. We're going to talk baseball with Matt Spiegel next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Score.
That's where our game, and I say our because I love it so much.
I want to let it play, Danny. I'm not going. That was Matt Spiegel saying our game to Roger Clemens on Hit and Run. Our good friend Matt Spiegel, who loves baseball more than just about anyone, joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline on what was supposed to be opening day. How you holding up, Spiegs?
Guys, I'm out on the ledge outside the window. Been thinking about jumping since 10 a.m. Just a baseball-free universe. No, I'm fine. What are you trying to make me weep here with this version of Take Me Out to the Ball Game? My God, Tanny. Oh, so
it would be great
sad.
Radio if you cried on the air, Speaks. I'm not going to lie. It'd be great.
The happiest sports song ever meets Taps.
I told you, you've been watching too much Ken Burns baseball, so there you have it.
Yeah, something's happened. Like the romance and sadness and beauty of failure that is baseball has invaded Chris Tannehill's soul deeply. He's like sending thoughtful texts in the middle of the night about what Satchel Paige used to call his fastball. You know,
it was the Midnight Rider, Danny, in case you're wondering.
Yeah.
Thank you.
In case you're wondering, he called it the Midnight Rider, which was also a great Greg Allman song. And Greg Allman was terrific with Bernstein and McKnight a few weeks ago.
Oh,
as you know.
Yeah, and Spiegs thought that our game to Roger Clemens was going to slide on by. But when we wrecked a good chunk of that interview last week, Danny, when you had a little time off, and he knew it when he did it during the interview, because I just say it's our game because we came out of the long hunk of Clemens, and I'm saying, let's get back to your game, Matt. And
that's where our game, and I say our because I love it so much.
It's all of our games, Speaks.
No, it's not yours, Danny. Just two of ours, like two guys like me and Clemens just bonding over our game. You know, we have a thing. It's very selective. I think Tannehill has decided it's his game, and last night he added Shep to the text thread as well. So it's we're very selective on who we add to our collective at this point.
That's your text exchange.
Yeah.
I was texting Shep. I was like, Speaks, I'm going to take the liberty to bring in Shep to the Our Game text thread. So if that's okay with you.
Yeah, it was a bold move, but it's correct. Thanks for calling, boys. It's been a very awkward and weird day. I've done a couple radio shows, a podcast, and in between, I'm sitting around flipping between five different classic games that are available from every platform that MLB Network and MLB.com has to offer. We finally reached the point where we don't need more content. Let's just work with what we have. That's what we're doing as a society.
Yeah, and we're putting logs on the fire, and we all told among our favorite opening day memories. I have to suspect that yours involves Fenway Park and a man named Herb Spiegel, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, no, I think I don't know. I should have an opening day memory to reel off for you, but
come on,
I never
this is
attended
your game.
One. Yeah, it's true. But I never attended one until I got to Chicago. I never attended one until 1992. So, because I grew up around Philly or around New York for those potential games, and then in Boston, I don't think I was ever at one at Fenway during college either. I'm failing you miserably in terms of a specific at the ballpark moment. What it really is, though, is like I've said Happy New Year to people on this day for 30 years, arrogantly, you know, just like our year just really starts now today with baseball. January 1st is how the peasants celebrate the calendar. You and
Happy
I,
New
my
Year.
Friend, we say, yeah, we say Happy New Year to each other on this day. So it's about 10 to 12 hours or 14 hours of constancy of baseball on, even before there were, you know, myriad networks and out of town feeds and such, you'd always at least get a Mariners game late at night on ESPN. You'd get at the very least that. So there'd be live baseball all damn day. And if you didn't buy the package, this was one of the only days where you had live baseball all damn day. So that's what I'm going through withdrawal missing today.
Speaks, I wouldn't describe you as a baseball purist, but you have some respect for the purity of baseball. And I'm curious, I'll summarize it for anyone who didn't read the piece from Jason Stark and Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic, and we played a little bit of Rob Manfred with Scott Van Pelt before you came on. They are going to look at this season, both players and owners and the commissioner's office, as an opportunity to try new things because they know that 162 games isn't possible. Things that apparently have been floated include starting the season with the All-Star game, expanding the postseason because the regular season might not be representative enough to have a small postseason like normal, playing more doubleheaders, playing seven-inning doubleheaders, expanding the rosters so more pitchers don't have to worry about ramping up as much so that they can hopefully reduce injuries. What version of baseball do you want to see if and when baseball comes back this year?
I love that they're talking about that stuff, and I heard you guys talking about it yesterday. You went around the group talking about it. I love that they're open-minded enough to be discussing. I have my fears that there'll be so many damn cooks in there, and Rob Manfred is so weak that they really won't get any of those kind of things done, kind of the intriguing things. But I love starting with the All-Star game. I think they did that in 81. They restarted the second half of the season in 1981 with the All-Star game. The idea of Spring Training 2, Electric Boogaloo, going hand-in-hand with All-Star voting is really fun. So, yeah, it won't be a normal All-Star game, and that's fine. But they got to play something. If they can't play, if they can play 81 games and just play a second half of a season, that's what I've been talking about. I love that. But look, if it gets to August and it can only be 25, 30 games, I've been saying the World Cup model, they use the World Baseball Classic model because that's actually there. It's basically the same. Divide into groups, which could essentially be the divisions, and play as many games as you can get in. You can get in 20? Great. And I'm serious, like 20, 25 games, and declare your winners and then have a couple of wild cards and have a full playoffs. Do not deny people baseball just because it doesn't fit into the classic cookie cutter version of what it is. It's already going to be weird no matter what. So don't sweat it. Let it be unique and get some baseball in. People are going to greet baseball and in general sports. And in my life, live music and nonsense, all the things we do, people are going to greet the return of nonsense with such open arms and such joy. Don't deny them that. And make a little money. Make a little postseason revenue money. You know, show the advertisers that you're going to find every way possible to be creative, because who knows what's going to stick after all this stuff gets eliminated. Who knows what opportunism is going to create in terms of uncomfortable, unnecessary things sticking in the economy. So, long answer, but give me some baseball as opposed to no baseball, and be creative if you can.
I mentioned yesterday the White Sox having to restart the engines. You're a believer in clubhouse chemistry. All that goodwill and all of that vibe has been put on hold. I hope they can recapture it once they get back together.
Teams with confidence, teams that have had great off seasons, teams with reason to be excited, should be able to grab that back without a problem, I would think. And, you know, it teams that have been dreading the season, I mean, like those kind of feelings, they've got a lot of time to fester. Remember when the Bears sucked on opening day and opening night, and we all had 10 days to sit around and stew in that and just how bad it was, you know? Those kind of things can just fester and build and get exacerbated by the time you return. I think the White Sox are definitely one of those teams that could hit the ground running because they're young, because they're next. They have that feeling of next. And then if they start well, they could be one of those kind of teams that benefits from that, because the grind will not exist. The grind of a .162 where the young teams who got off to good starts fall back to the pack, that's not going to exist. So a good start might be enough to get you going.
Do you have in your mind, I know you said whatever you can do, you play, but like, do you have a number in your mind where you feel like they need to hit this number for, at the end of it, whoever is crowned series champion, for you to feel like that is a crowning achievement like other World Series champions?
It's a good question. I don't think, I mean, look, if they played 120 games, we'd still have people saying that's not a real World Series because they didn't really get there. It's just weird. It's just, it's going to be different. And history is gonna decide how we end up calling it. Like, look, if we have something absurd and short, like the World Baseball Classic format, like we're talking about, and I think the article mentioned it, right? Like, I don't even know if you should call it a World Series champion. If they end up with some, what if they end up with some kind of weird playoff format? I think one of the ideas in there was a 30-team tournament where, you know, everybody's playing a best of three or something like that, and you're breaking it down to two. That should not be called a World Series. But, you know, if they play, I remember that in 81, the Dodgers won the World Series, even though the season was split in two. And you had four different divisional champions in what were just two divisions at the time. And I think that was the year of the multiple Dodgers tying for World Series MVP, right? Pedro Guerrero and Ron Say and Steve Yeager. It's like the World Series matters, and calling it that, regardless of how many games they play, would be fine by me. If they ended up doing a weird tournament kind of thing, maybe you don't call it a World Series. But otherwise, I mean, weird is weird, and it's going to be in the books in full.
Tonight on The Score, Spiegs, we are airing Mark Burley's Perfecto. It was the 23rd of July in 09. We had, I think that was our sixth week together doing the midday show. And as you've said to me, and you've said it on the air, how great it was to experience, because of my love for the Blackhawks, those cups in 10 and 13. It was just as cool for me. It was a one-day experience, but after the turmoil you had gone through in the winter of 09 to get back to town, I'll let you give whatever you want on that, but what that game meant for you and why a tear might have rolled down your cheek that afternoon on the South Side.
Yeah, man. You know, that during like the 6 months before that, I'd been out in California, had a marriage fall apart, a life fall apart, been let go by the downsizing sporting news radio, and then, you know, struggled to move home, had to borrow money from family to fund my move home. Nothing quite so humbling as that when in your 30s, right? But, you know, sometimes it happens. And so I come back and you and I start doing radio and we're the flagship home for the White Sox. And we're broadcasting getaway day games from the booth above a ball field. Are you freaking kidding me? I think I must have Facebooked the same picture like eight times that year. I couldn't get over the good fortune to broadcast a game from up there. And I got a press pass. I got a season-long press pass that I can just use anytime. So we do the game, watch the first five innings from the press box with a friend of mine who also worked in media, a kid I grew up with. And then you text and say, I got an extra seat behind the plate. Burley's going. You, me, and Danny Simon sitting, what, eighth row in the scout seats for Burley's perfect game as it happens. Seeing the behind the plate angle of Gabe Kapler's drive and thinking there's no way Dwayne Wise is going to make that catch. And then when he finishes it and it's a perfect game, at the time, I think there were 16, was it 17? Was it the 17th perfect game? Tanny will know, he's doing pre and post tonight.
The 18th.
For the big broadcast. 18th. The 18th. Thank you. So after everything ridiculous that had happened in my life, all of a sudden I have the good fortune to be sitting in a seat like that for something that's happened 18 times in the 115-year history of the game I love or whatever the hell it was. Oh, my God. It was ridiculous good fortune. So, yes, a tear rolled. And I'll never forget the Rays standing on the top step and applauding. And I'll never forget Jamie Burley with Mark's youngest talking to Ozzie Guillen while Mark did interviews on the field, Ozzie entertaining the baby, just like making faces at the baby. And just the collective in that park was so magical. I don't remember how many people were there. It sure felt like a ton, though. I don't remember what the attendance was, but yeah, no, it's among the two or three greatest ball games I've ever attended. That and Game 7 of the 2016 World Series, those two, and then Nolan Ryan versus Roger Clemens in 1991 at Fenway Park when I was sitting under the Diamond Vision 550 feet away, and it was still, up until the Burley game, the greatest game I'd ever seen. So yeah, it's special stuff, and I love that we're dipping into the archives and playing that one tonight for people.
Well, Speaks, listen, even though it's not my game and it's your game and Tanny's game and Shep's game and Clemens'
I was kidding. Danny, I was kidding, but I knew you felt that very personally.
Oh, of course I felt it. Of course I felt it. No, but what I was going to say, Danny, is it's very cool, man. Like, Mac and I have hosted with you, so we know that you're not just the baseball guy, but The Athletic did a poll that voted you the best baseball voice or the most knowledgeable baseball host.
They went most knowledgeable, which is crazy.
Most knowledgeable, yeah, baseball host in Chicago for Matt Spiegel. You and Roger Clemens, it's your game. You got Joe Buck on Hit and Run. Like, it doesn't matter that there are no games. You are still Mr. Baseball. So I'm sorry that your game isn't being played right now, but thank you very much for coming on. Figure out a way to get through it tonight, all right?
Boys, I appreciate it. Yeah, and thanks for anybody who voted in that silly thing. But it's nice. I love it, and here's what I realized. I said it on Sunday. MLB baseball, I think it's great. Big fan. I realized it's not essential for baseball radio. That's what I've realized. So I'll see you Sunday morning. Joe Buck on the show. Ed Howard, the Mount Carmel shortstop, the former Jackie Robinson West player, who's a lock to be a first-round pick as a shortstop, is going to be on the show as well.
And this station crackles when you're talking baseball on it, man.
I miss you, boys. Sounding good these days. Keep doing what you're doing. Stay safe and healthy.
Back stay safe, Speaks. Best of the family.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
That's our guy, Matt Spiegel. As he mentioned, our guy Chris Tannehill with Joe Ostrowski doing pre- and post-game. They were the producers when the White Sox were on the station of Mark Burley's Perfect Game. We'll be airing that starting in 20 minutes. Another very important score day happening that we have to shout out before we get out of here. That's next on The Score.
McNeil and Parkins flashback. Flashback.
That is a very pleasant-sounding tunage, Chris Tannehill. I do not recognize that. That's not a regular with us, is it?
Friday, I'm in love?
There you go.
Okay.
Thought you were an XRT listener, no?
I spend time with XRT,
the
yes.
Cure.
I do.
He's been playing it usually about 5:30 on Fridays.
Okay, I'm checked out long before 5:30 on a Friday.
I guess so.
I don't recognize it. I like it. Very easy.
Friday, I'm in love.
That's
catchy
good.
For a Friday afternoon,
yeah,
as we wrap things up here.
Relevant, some might say.
Yeah, okay. Well, what does that mean?
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. And to you.
Relevant, some might say.
Yeah, okay. Well, what does that mean?
Happy birthday to Shane's meat, Shane Reardon. He's not our fearless leader, that's Mitch Rosen, but he is our jack-of-all-trades, do-everything, unsung hero of 670 The Score.
Happy birthday, Mike.
He's one of the hardest-working guys at the radio station, yeah, and he sure does love to cook, and I would love to be in a position to be able to do something for him, to give him something to put on his smoker. That's going to have to wait just a little bit, because harbors are closed near where I'm at this weekend, and it would be silly to go out anyway, but I'm gonna get a bag of spring coho fillets. I sent Ginger a text this morning. I said, do a little recon on smoking small salmon fillets, because I believe that is the best tasting fish, and by miles, that comes out of the lake just right to your east where you are today, Danny, Lake Michigan. I love it, and he'll know what to do with it, and he is a hardworking dude who doesn't ask for anything in return, and happy birthday to Shane Ginger Reardon.
Yeah, he's become a good friend since I've moved to Chicago, and I admire the hell out of his work ethic. He is a great cook. He's a creative dude. He's willing to help in any way that you need it, and he's also picked up on the little charitable endeavor that I started on social media, and he's been donating a lot of money directly to people who have been hurt economically from COVID-19. So he's just a good dude, and he makes us all better, and he makes the station better. So happy birthday to Shane Reardon, but I couldn't help but needling him a little bit. I texted him that it was unfortunate that opening day was canceled and he couldn't watch his nice little team this year, because that really bothers
him. Nice little team. Yeah, I'm sure that went over really well with him. He's very sensitive in that regard. He's tired of the nonsense. He's ready for the breakout Sockos and people to stop talking about them as a nice little team. The day I first met Shane Reardon, he scared the hell out of me. I was intimidated, and he seemed really angry. He showed up at a remote I was doing, I think in Arlington Heights, I don't know, before we got together. I was doing those NFL pregame shows, Danny, with Tim Doyle usually.
And I remember.
It was our first show on remote broadcast, and he was running late, and that's why he was in a bad mood. I didn't even know who he was. I was outside the bar having a smoke, and here comes, he's an intimidating looking guy with the beard and the body ink, and he moves real fast, a lot of purpose in his step. And after I found out who he was, he's like, oh, this is my producer today, and he was just on such a mission. I thought, man, this guy hates my guts, and I was expecting some of that coming back, but right out of the chute.
Right, you're right.
In a remote location, he said it had nothing to do with me, and we quickly became friends. But my first impression was, this guy is going to kill me.
I embrace the outlaw life.
Because that's who he looks like, Ginger from True Detective Season 1.
So happy birthday to Shane. And listen, our guy, Chris Tannehill, I can't believe it's your first on-air shift, Tanny. Like, I know you're the best audio guy in radio, and I know that you hadn't always cracked a mic, and you've done it more on this show than in your radio past, but I guess I would have guessed differently that for some reason, some way, one day, you had been hosting a weekend show somewhere. Are you excited for the show tonight, doing pregame with Joe O and then postgame as the producer of Mark Burley's Perfect Game to relive it with the people?
Yeah, I'm excited, a bit nervous, but being there with my guy Joe O, who I've known since I got here in 2007, I he's been here since then. Looking forward to hosting with him. I'm sure, we were talking the other day. It'll be like nothing. Like, you know, we've basically hosted our own show back here in the studio during the times where we produce for Mully and Hanley or Lauren's Home Show. So we'll be fine. I think we'll talk to Chris Ranji in the 9 o'clock hour. He was on the field to interview Mark Burley after his perfect game. But yeah, who would have thunk a global pandemic would put me in a position to be hosting on The Score? But I'm here for it. And how about, I'll be doing it from the Lucy app. So I'm looking forward to that. That'll be strange. But
that's a good first experience. Hosting live radio. That's good. So you're not with your co-host, and then you're bringing on a guest.
Yeah, I think
you'll be doing the post game from home.
I think that'll add to the comfort factor, because it's so weird. You know, it'll take some of the nerves away being at home. You know, so I'm looking forward to it. It should be fun going down memory lane. I think they only have me because people that were at the station at that time don't remember 2009. So they have to have someone with memories of
from the Sox shrine in your Rogers Park abode. You have a Sox shrine room, basically, don't you?
Not a Sox room. I do have Sox areas. It's Harwood Heights now. I wish I could do the broadcast from underneath my autographed Frank Thomas jersey or my bobblehead display case, but I have to be by my router or else it'll sound bad. But yeah, I do have some Soxy-like areas. But no, this will be on my couch in my front room, so it'll be fine.
The front room. Yeah. I haven't heard it. In Boston, they call it a parlor. You were throwing up all over parlor. Chris Cooper in the town.
Rolling a stock market for a box of quarters.
For the McNeil and Parkins Show mob, Tanny, give us a little synopsis. Like, what your top memory from that day, if you don't mind.
I think it would have to be the Wise catch, because, you know, it was such an improbable thing to happen. Just the perfect game in general, just such an improbability when you think about that Tampa Bay Rays lineup at the time and the White Sox, you know, throwing out Mark Burley, who's a contact pitcher. But the Wise moment was so special because we get the direct feed from Ed and DJ's booth, and you hear the excitement and you hear Ed's great call, and there's that moment where I'm looking at Joe across the way and like, wow, I can't believe that he made such a great catch. But then you have the liberty of going to see the catch when everyone else sees it on the TV screen. So it's the knowing that it happened before everyone else did, and then getting to see, like, okay, let's see how great it was. And it was even better than we could have imagined.
Wow, what a different experience. I never considered that. Yeah, and like Spiegel said, when we were eight rows behind the dish, crack of the bat, I looked at Spiegs and I said, there's no way this place holds that. No way.
Especially on a summer day like that day.
Yeah, and sure enough, the catch, Dwayne Wise, good memories. You know what they say about every conversation that begins with remember when, Danny?
Lowest form of human conversation?
I'm looking forward to you engaging in it all night.
Remember when is the lowest form of conversation. Here we go. Memory lane.
Support our guy Chris Tannehill for his first hosting shift. It's cool what we're doing. We're airing this Mark Burley Perfect Game with the interactive pre- and post-game. Then we're going to be doing it with the Cubs 16 playoff run with Joe O and Pat and Ron breaking in and doing commentary and reliving those postseason moments. So we're trying here at Scorantine to put a smile on your face and hopefully keep some normalcy in these very abnormal times. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. Thank you, Herb Lawrence, for your help as well back in the Score studios. Nick Shepkowski, our executive producer, fantastic job once again. Rex Hudler, Bruce Weber, and Matt Spiegel were our guests today. For Dan McNeil, I'm Danny Parkins. We are McNeil and Parkins. This is The Score. This segment was brought to you by Denny's. Denny's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Order your favorite from Denny's at Denny's.com. Pick it up and have your Denny's favorites delivered right to your door with free delivery. You're hungry. Denny's delivers for free. Order now at Denny's.com. And 312-591-6700. The sixth caller, you win a free haircut with the MVP experience from Sport Clips. They got over 90 Chicagoland locations. 312-591-6700. Pick yourself up a haircut at Sport Clips. We are McNeil and Parkins. This is The Score.
Who cares?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.